Hello and welcome to episode 10 of To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. My name's Donna and I hope you are well and staying safe. My guest today is Mel. She is a I can't stress how talented this beautiful and fabulous young woman is. She's an artist and also the creator and owner of Trumi Jewelry. Trumi Jewelry is absolutely gorgeous and it's available buy, get onto Instagram and onto Facebook. And also her artwork at Heart of Core Designs, her prints are just beautiful, bold, and she makes loads of beautiful canvases and greeting cards. So please go check her out, and she does bespoke things as well. So if you want something personalized, created just for you, please check my girl out. Drop her a note, drop her an email, buy online. Her stuff is absolutely fabulous. And so, I've asked Mel on to my little podcast to ask him my three favourite questions. And here is how she got on. Enjoy. And welcome to another episode of To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. Now, on this episode, I have a very special guest, a very dear friend of mine that I've known since, I'm not even going to count how many years, since secondary school, when I first met this wonderful, beautiful, and extremely creative a fabulous woman. Her name is Mel the Artiste, and she is the founder of Heart of Core Designs and Trumi Jewelry. And once again, it is an absolute pleasure to have this lady on. And we haven't spoken in such a long time, but Mel, what can I say? You are a trailblazer. I'll say visionary.
Oh my goodness.
You are so creative. Your design, the artwork is so beautiful, and I've been, you know, following you from afar on Facebook. And beautiful artwork, and you produced beautiful gift cards, beautiful canvases. You know, your vision, the colours are just beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, it's just amazing to have known or come to school with someone that is just so creative.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness.
But what you do is absolutely incredible designs, and you know, your designs and your canvases and artwork and your jewelry, you know, get through social Facebook and where is it you're based again?
I'm in London. I live in Feltham, but my network is just around London because I'm kind of mobile with what I'm doing, so I'm just all over the place really, but I am in like southwest London areas.
So any my listeners can literally go onto your socials and follow you, and is that the best way to get a hold of your design as well?
I have an Instagram page at Trumi Jewelry. And so if you go on Instagram, it will be www.instagram@trumijewelry.com, or you could go on Facebook and go onto the Heart of Core Designs page. I also have another Instagram page which is Heart of Core Designs as well, that basically just shows all of the development of, you know, and the concepts of what I work with. Trumi Jewelry just basically has the finished product of all of the jewelry that I make. It's been a very long and strenuous journey to just finally realize what I want to do with life. You know what I mean? We've been like friends for a very, very long time. Like, I'm talking high school, 1992.
When I think of 1992 and school, I'm pretty sure that's when TLC, What About Your Friends?
Was this, who else was around? So you had TLC,
yeah,
you had a little bit of SWV creeping in there,
Oh yes, it's New Jack Swing, wasn't it? So you had
New Jack Swing,
Boyz II Men.
The ragga scene was like popping every other week, like you know, Ninja Man and We Hit Them On. We Hit Them On. We don't think we did done. All of them tunes there, they were just popping.
I keep thinking of Chevrons.
Yep.
Chevrons. It was Shaggy.
Yeah. Chevrons and Shaggy started creeping in. Yeah. After Chevrons like just flopped the whole scene. But he just left.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we what was it? Oh my gosh. Vanilla Ice was in there as well.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice and Snow.
Oh, yeah. Snow. Snow.
Like, past 1992, but that's kind of the era that
Remember Colour Me Bad?
Yes, Colour Me Bad. And what is it? Charles and Eddie.
Yeah.
And then I remember also at school you had Jodeci. Because I always remember at school that you had the Jodeci camp and then you had the Take That camp. Do you remember that?
I remember those. Oh my gosh. Yeah, man. Those days were those days. Everybody's trying to do a new version of the Bogle. Everyone was
and the butterfly.
Yep, I remember those days, man. They were good because I swear, like, you could be creative. It wasn't so orchestrated. Yes. It wasn't so orchestrated back then. You know, you could be creative with what you was doing. Every boy was coming out with a new beatbox. You know that they had like developed with themselves and their friends in the corner of the playground behind the RE huts, you know what I mean?
I remember you used to sit in beatboxing class actually.
I used to do beatboxing, I just gave up because the boys was just like, you know, that's not your scene, you know what I mean? You're a girl, you shouldn't be beatboxing.
No, that's kind of stuff that really not allowed to be said. So school days, those are the days, we were free, we were kind of young spirited before other parts of life kind of beat it out of us.
Not
certainly me.
I mean, well, no, you know what, me, you know, thinking about, you know, knowing what we know now and thinking about the things that happened back then in school, a lot of it makes sense. Unfortunately, some of it is negative, you know what I mean? The way certain people would talk to us, the way people would, you know, especially some of the teachers would talk to us, or handle us, or, you know, the way they would handle us in certain situations, you know? This is you know, it makes a lot of sense now, you know, when you think about things and your educated self, and I say educated self in inverted commas because we're still learning, but when you think about all of the things that we had to go through as kids and the things that didn't make sense, and we'd go home confused, or we'd go home and cry about it, or we'd just go home and be silent about it because, as we know, like with people like us, we suppress a lot of things. We just class a lot of traumatizing things as normal. When you think about some of the things that the teachers said, or the way other children used to treat you when they were ready, and you think about it now, you said, oh yeah, now I know why you did that. Now I know why you said that. Now I know why you treated me that way. Now I know why I was on my own that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
it's the biggest thing that hurt people. People. And as a child's eyes, especially in the teenage years when we're at our most emotionally vulnerable state, we don't see it. We don't see it as, you know, envy, because they don't have the same thing that you have, don't have the same upbringing, they have a very different lifestyle, which I soon found out in later years when I started driving around there, visiting the neighbourhoods of these kids that weren't so nice to us and grew up in, and it's a world away from what I grew up in.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me. You know, like, oh, now I understand why you had a problem with me, because, you know, you just saw me living in this area, you know, dominant white, you know, it was a decent house, a big garden.
Yeah, yeah.
You even though we weren't the richest.
Yeah.
But it's that's the thing you learn as you get older.
Yeah.
Where it all kind of stems from. And I mean, do you feel like you got the space of got to space of forgiveness? Or even gratitude?
You know, even though some of the things that I went through in my childhood was pretty bad, I do not regret it. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it. I'm grateful to everything that my mum was able to do, because I come from a single parent household. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for everything that my mum was able to do. You know what I mean? She got by the way she could, based on the system and you know, everything that was presented to her. She, you know, she basically shone through the darkness, kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even though there were things that happened in my life that were pretty traumatizing, I do not regret going through them one bit, because it would not have made me the person that I am today. So I am grateful. I'm grateful for everything.
Yeah, I get that. Everything. Yeah, I feel the gratitude at this stage of my life, but it is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You made me who I am today. I wouldn't be the person that was there. You accepted me instead of had this great intolerance towards me. I wouldn't be the person that I am today. I wouldn't have gone to make those strides to think, you know what, Donna, it's not wrong with you.
Yeah.
You're fine, or it just makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things, it's just that if I didn't have such a tough time at school, I would have spent less time in the library.
Yeah.
I would have spent less time in the IT room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have got the grades that I did. I probably wouldn't have the life that I have, now. Because our parents were going to like busted people.
Yeah.
We always got that.
Yeah.
But it got to me where I didn't want to go out in the playground, because I didn't want to set the playground the new ones coming to me. I didn't have a great time. At one point, I don't even know what happened here to spend my great time in the library, my lunch in the IT room.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the playground.
Jeez.
And I will admit that had I not done that, or had not found my refuge in those places, then I've a very different lifestyle right now.
Yeah.
Let's be real about it.
Yeah. You see, my lifestyle was kind of different. It was like, even though I was surrounded by people, I was alone. Because remember, I was only in year 7 in Cardinal Wiseman, in our school.
Yeah.
In our high school, I was only in year 7. And then I went to year 8 in Southall. Massive culture shock. Anybody who knows Southall knows that Southall is a heavily Asian populated area. I was literally the only black child in the whole of my year. There was only one other person that came like a little while afterwards. And it turns out somehow we ended up being related. That's how isolated we were.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And for the first, I'd say for the first, year 7? No, year 8, year 9. Year 8 and year 9 and beyond up until year 11, the isolation was real. The isolation was real. So where you were, it's like you were physically and mentally isolated. I was physically and mentally isolated, but I had a different seat. Everybody was around me, but that was only because I was the token. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They wanted me to talk about certain things. They wanted me to talk about Bob Marley. They wanted me to talk about Jamaica. Oh, what do you lot do over there? What do your parents do over there? Is this what you eat? Blah, blah, blah. I just went with it. I'm not even Jamaican. I'm St. Lucian. I just went with it. There's no point in me trying to explain to you what St. Lucia is all about, because you just expect me to come from one place. That was how high the level of ignorance was, you know? And I understand completely when you come, you just don't want to mix. You don't want to mix. You don't want to, because you knew what was coming. It's exactly right. You knew what was coming if you went out there. And, you know, when you're... I am a dark skin. I have my afro hair. My hair wasn't relaxed. My mom didn't teach me anything about relaxer. You know, remember we're in year 7. There were bare girls same with their hair, curly perm.
Yeah.
Had their hair in curly perm and straight perm, you know what I mean? Or extensions. Yeah. Number one, my mom couldn't afford the extensions. Number two, she couldn't afford a relaxer. So I had my natural hair. And when you have your natural hair and your dark skin and you're surrounded by the Asian population who have their own caste system,
yeah,
and everyone has a nice, slim, thin figure, you know, sort of semi to fair skin, you know, the brown paper bag concept, you know, no one's too dark, you know what I mean? And they have the nice, long, silky hair. And then there's me. I went through so much, like, you know, when you have a crush on someone and you know that that person is not going to like you because of the way you look, not going to like you because of the way you are, not going to like you because your hair texture is wrong, your lips are too big, you're too muscular, you know what I mean?
Wow.
One of those, it was just one of those. And went through so much isolation. You can't relate to anyone, because even when somebody was getting ignorant and you could, you had a, you know, an opportunity to educate them at that point, they'd start talking in their own language. And then all of a sudden you've lost the whole point you were trying to make, because they're running joke about you in their own language and you don't even understand what's going on. So I'd just be sitting there, silence, everything was suppressed, you know what I mean? And anything that I would want to express was considered showing off. So I just kept it shtum, you know?
You dimmed your light.
Kept it shtum, dimmed my light, didn't say nothing. You know, I'd take the ridicule. I'd take the ridicule from the teachers. I'd take the ridicule from the popular people, you know, the popular kids. You know, they use you as a target of their entertainment to increase their popularity.
Yeah.
You end up becoming a watcher, a silent watcher. But again, I don't regret anything, because that made me the person that I am today. That made me the person that I am today. And I don't regret one, all the positives and all the negatives. I take it all.
That's outstanding. Mm. We haven't even got to the first question yet. But with that said, because I did say I want to talk about your creativity, and you know, even though we were classmates for 1 year,
yeah,
you know, you were great, so you were beatbox girl, you could sing.
Oh, you remember that we used to sing together though.
You could sing. But you're the only person that I think I've ever sung with and didn't sound like crap, basically. Because if someone says, Donnie, you can sing, I'm like, no, I can't sing. You're the only person that ever brought out any kind of harmony in my voice in history. I'm going to tell you that. The only person I could sit and harmonize with and not sound like a cat being strangled was with you. That's the truth.
Honestly. Oh my goodness. I remember our sessions on the back of the 46 bus. You know, I'd catch the bus on the way to King Stanley. Remember, I used to go to your home afterwards, didn't it? We either walk or we catch the bus.
Yeah.
I'd love those days. I love those days. I love those.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Man, but this is it. And it shows, you know, how many years it's been. You know, we'll always have that memory. It's what's funny to that. In fact, I have to say this because I remember the first record, actual vinyl, I bought was was Jodeci.
Yeah, you bought that for me.
Love Your Light. Yeah, I did, because I can't remember. We used to write.
Yeah.
So the younger generation also has no idea about pen pals.
No.
Right. We would actually write on pen and paper
to each other
and post letters to each other, because you know, you moved down to London, as we stayed in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember having this single. I wanted to send it to you, and it's probably one of the biggest things I've ever sent in the past. I don't even know how I got it in the envelope. Did I wrap it and just put your address on it and your name, and I'll say and that's still to this day is one of my favorite songs of the time.
You gotta get it on up now.
Yeah,
oh, that tune. Love that tune. and Love You For Life as well.
Yeah,
you know, because there was one tune on one side and one tune on the other side, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I used to play that all the time.
Remixes.
All the time. Yeah, I love that song. Absolutely love it. I still love it.
Oh, I still love it to this day. It's still a beautiful song. Still think Joe's amazing.
Every time I hear that, like, you know, sometimes they do throwbacks on you know, on TV or something like that. Or somebody might put a throwback on Instagram or something like that. And, you know, you might catch a Jodeci song. Oh, I remember Jodeci. And every time, I always think about that vinyl that you sent me, man. That was, like, one of the best. That was one of the best. That was my prized possession. That was...
Do you know, that still remains the only piece of vinyl I own. I never bought it. Yeah. It's in the retake. It's my one and only piece of vinyl. It's all CDs and tapes after that, and now it's just all on the phone. But yeah, doing the same thing.
Yeah, man, love that. Love it.
I'm actually my first question. So, what is the best piece of advice that someone from the older generation has ever given you that has shaped the person that you are today?
I would say that the best piece of advice that anyone's given me, and you know, it wasn't even a member of my family, actually. It was somebody outside of my family that, you know, when you have, you know, family acquaintances that sort of become family, even though you're not related, you end up calling them uncle They said, remember, be careful how you treat people on the way up, because when you're on the way down, you're going to see them again. And, you know, that resonated with me throughout my whole life, because I've seen how people can conduct themselves, you know, their demeanor. When they reach a certain level and they're going to another level, they're becoming successful in life. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about the things that you can physically do for someone, like giving them money or giving them materialistic things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your mentality and how you are as a person yourself towards them. You know?
Yeah.
Some people change, like, you know. It happened to us in school when we were children. Like, somebody, you'd make a friend with someone.
Yeah.
You'll be with them for, like, say, 6 months of the year and what have you next. And then all of a sudden, because you're going through so many changes in your life, they might be going through a certain change in their life. And then they decide that they don't want to talk to you anymore because you don't fit the bill. You don't fit the image. You don't fit the status. You don't fit what have you next. And you get a lot of people that treat people a certain way when their life has changed. It's not for anything in particular, nothing in particular whatsoever. And that person is left wondering, what the hell did I do? You know what I mean? What did I do? What did I say? You know, what was the problem? And then all of a sudden, when things are not so good, there's that text. Yeah, how you doing, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. I ain't spoken to you for ages. Yeah, well, you know why you haven't spoken to me for ages. I don't. I've been texting you. I've been sitting here wondering where my friend is. You know what I mean? You have to watch how you treat people on the way up, because, you know, we all know that cliche, what goes up must come down. You know, you're not going to be... It's not going to be, you know, plain sailing forever. You're not going to have success 100% throughout the 100% or whatever's rest of your life. You're not going to have that. You're going to have, there's going to be a point where you're going to need to really turn to someone and talk, or turn to someone and release, and turn to someone and just reason with them and just vent, exercise those demons that are inside of you that are making you feel depressed and things like that. That's what friendship is about. But when you are faced with, you know, you're looking at someone and they just, you don't recognize them anymore because of the way that they're getting on. And they're getting on like that because they believe that their life is better. So they have another level of people, you might as well say, different crowd of people that they would hang around with, or they would invite to certain things, or, you know, they would consider them before they consider you. And you just really have to be careful on how you treat people when you're on the way up, because like I said, it doesn't last forever. When you're on your way down, when that you know, when you can't pay that, when you can't pay that bill, if it does come to that, when you can't pay that bill, when you're sitting around looking at all of these people and you realize that they're not your friends, I wonder how blah blah is doing, and you realize you haven't spoken to them for half the year, you don't know how you're going to be received when you start messaging them again, and then you're on your own. You're really on your own, you know what I mean? Just, you know, you have to be really careful with things like that. Because I've been on I've been on the receiving end of that for the majority of my life. And when that person did tell me that when I was young, I didn't understand it. But I think after the third instance, when I started thinking, what the hell's going on? What is it with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't me. It was the mentality that was wrong. It was other people's mentality that was wrong.
So did you get to a point of forgiveness, or was this, no, you've done too much damage, or it's too toxic and walk away?
Yeah, I mean, it took a while for me to get to a point of forgiveness, because, you know, I don't know, man, I'm a Sagittarius. I have to try and figure out what the hell is wrong so I can fix it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I try to aim to please, and that's one of the, you know, the messages that does take it right into the second question. It's one of the things that you know I aim to please, because what you get taught in the household, you believe the rest of the world is like that. So, yes. You know, I had a feeling of fear. There was this fear that was installed in me, like people have to like me. I don't want to do anything to upset anybody. I need to do something nice for them so that they like me, you know what I mean? And if they didn't like me, I'd probably be thinking, what can I do to fix it? What can I change about myself to make you like me? Because I like it when people like me. I want you to smile at me, you know what I mean? I don't want you to give me no dirty looks. You know, remember the dirty looks we used to get when we were in kids? But
it's also energy, though. So if you've got someone definitely that's not approaching you with this kind of negative energy,
brings
you down. So I can understand the mentality of, you know, wanting everyone to be happy around you.
And yeah.
To like you.
And that's
you want to be around that energy as well, that nourishes you, feeds you.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I do feel, keep your head down. It's either there's, from like Caribbean family, you've either got the mentality of keep your head down and be quiet, be a people pleaser to make your life easy. And I mean personally I think that's more backwards. They just like, if you're good and you behave, you don't get
beat, you don't get also.
And
that's
these
it.
Are the things I think have trickled down even to this day of, you know, don't put your head above the parapit.
Yeah.
Don't take a risk. Don't draw attention to yourself.
That's right. That's right. You know? That's just so. Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. And if you check it, like, the generation before us, they had to do that. They had to keep their head down. They had to not draw attention to themselves. They had to just follow the rules and just keep everything stum so that they could just get on with their life. Whereas we were born in the generation of expression and free speech. So there was a lot of things that they didn't understand, and there's a lot of things that we didn't understand. Why can't I just say that? No, you can't say that. Keep quiet, you know what I mean? Why can't I just tell them? You can't tell them. Don't bring attention to yourself. You know what I mean? Don't bring attention to yourself. You can't do things like that. You know what I mean? That's what you, and it wasn't a negative thing. It was just basically questioning the authority that was presented. Why can't I do X, Y, and Z? Well, no, because for the longest time it's been 1, 2, and 3, and I don't want no trouble. Don't bring no trouble to my door. That's all I would hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, there was that element where they didn't understand. I had no choice but to come to a level of forgiveness. I had no choice. And that's something that, you know, I had to figure out myself. It took me a long time to figure it out. I'm only just coming to terms with what I've had to figure out, and I'm 39. Imagine if I was armored with that when I was younger. then things would have been a lot better. A lot better, I guess.
So is this where we're bleeding into question two? So what's a piece of advice that you've wished someone had taken from you, that you had to find out for yourself?
A piece of advice that I wish somebody would have given to me that I've had to find out for myself is to not, and I know it sounds cliche, but to not be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to stand up for yourself. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to go in that direction instead of the other direction. You know, when I was younger, I remember getting dragged by my stepnan because I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a creator. You know, I'm singing, I'm playing my guitar, I'm playing the piano, I'm drawing. That's not what you want to do. There's nothing in that. You need to be a nurse. You need to work in an office. You need to do this. Concentrate on your academics. And I was scared. They drum that fear in me, like saying, oh, all of these people, they end up being drug addicts. And, you know, you can't bring that to my house. I'm not, you need to pay your way kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I ended up just working because I needed to help with the household. I was scared. If I wasn't bringing any money in, if I wasn't doing what right, then I was scared about what the consequences were because I was having that constantly drilled into my head. You don't need to do this. You need to do that. Drop that company, they're no good for you. You need to be a midwife, you need to work in an office, go out and get that money. You know what I mean? And they weren't it. I was scared about going against that grain. You know, I had to do what they were telling me to do, otherwise, I'd be looked at a certain way, otherwise, I'd be ostracized, otherwise, I'd be looked at as the black sheep, you know?
Yeah,
and I still ended up looking like the black sheep in the family. However, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. And it's not because it's something that I'm emanating. I'm not emanating any negativity. I'm not operating with dismissive thinking. I'm not condescending or being patronizing. This is who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I am. Like, I create on emotions. Is the right word an empath? You know, when you feel,
empathy is when
you feel loads of things. Yeah,
especially from other people. So what I was referring to about energy or energy vampires, as I like to call them, I've seen I'm an empath as well. So I completely get it. And when you have that energy vampire, you've got friends, someone that drains your energy so much that you need to steal yourself to pick up that cough. To call them, because you know by the time you finish, you're just gonna absorb all of that energy. You know that,
right?
And it's a bit hard to say because you know the person going through a time, depression. But there's other people I know that literally just were so negative and so draining. That literally, I'll be completely on the floor afterwards. And by the time I finish the phone call, so you do feel other people. Emotions and energy very, very deeply.
Yeah.
And if you're not smart with it, this is where emotional intelligence is a great thing to have. You know, it can get better.
Yeah. And everything that I would get from people would be, it would be that fear of not being liked, that fear, you know. You're a young child and they're looking down on you and they're pointing at you and they're saying, listen, you know what I mean? This is what you need to do. This is the right way. Other ways are not the right way. Look at that person. You don't want to end up like that. And it's that fear, that authority and fear that was instilled in me that made me go, for want of a better expression, the academic route. You know, the strict academic route. Okay, so I've got my grades. Let me get my grades. I go on to sixth form. I did art and computers. I did my A-levels, and that's when they started to think, okay, well, no, she's concentrating too much on the drawing. Let's get her into this. So as soon as I finished that, it was like, okay, well, you need a job now. there's no more money coming in for you. You need a job. So I fell straight into the work industry, and then that was it. I lost sight of what I wanted to do. You know, I was still singing from time to time. I was still playing my instruments and whatnot. You know, I ended up singing with a producer. And then that fell apart because the hours increased and I couldn't keep up. So I started to forget about who I was based on the fear that was instilled in me, you know. So I've had years of going through, you know, this standardized, like, you know, you gotta wake up, go get your 9-to-5 in the office, come home, get paid, you know what I mean? Because of the fear. And that's what I would say to my younger self. Don't be scared. Just don't be scared. It sounds cliche, it says don't be scared. Your gut feeling, go with your gut feeling, go with what makes you happy. And I don't mean go with what makes you happy while causing hurt to others. Because I think that's a lot, you know, people say that they're spiritual. They use spiritual as a loose term, man. They use spiritual as a loose term. Oh, I'm going to do whatever I do whenever I want to do it, as long as it makes me happy. No. You really got to think about stuff before you make those decisions. But you're thinking about it internally and you make those decisions regardless of what people think. But when they come to you with what they think, you don't respond in a disrespectful way. You have an explanation for them. And the way you explain things to them, they would actually have no comeback because they are not in your shoes. They're not in your shoes. And remember that cliche, oh, she's getting too big for her boots.
Yeah.
You don't know my shoe size.
I like that. I like that. But once again, I'm going to go down the road. I always do this. When you look at these phrases, you know, you're getting too big for boots.
Mm-hmm.
Boxy. I just feel like those phrases just always just girls.
Yeah.
You know? I don't remember that being said to a guy, you
getting
to be a boy.
Yeah, no.
So, once again, it's mentality. And, you know, I've got a few more not strictly African-American, but the thing about women are to shrink themselves, to be quiet, not to be outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's getting on. You know, or she says I'm a Rottweiler
and
Chihuahua body.
Yeah.
She still says that, by the way.
I like that. Rottweiler and a Chihuahua.
And then it's funny when I look at the cartoons like Ren and Stimpy and Pinky and the Brain, the little ratty Chihuahua that's like the biggest, most intelligent and spotting, just using the a bigger animal inside
yeah.
the brawn. Yeah, mom.
Yeah.
I'll take over the world and you won't even know. Yeah. Anyway, though. So, you know, what you're saying is that is absolutely true. And, you know, it's about, I think everyone can learn from this about, you know, not being scared, not being fearful, like stepping outside of that box. It's so
exactly
because, you know, when you're looking at other people and their picture perfect life, once again, you don't even know how the box is. You don't know how they're being.
And yeah,
they've gone into this box because that's where they're led to be. And you just have to learn as well. Where it's like, yeah, finish school, get a good job, find some part of something.
That's it.
You know, and they're going to do that, and then they kind of have a
that's it.
You know, and it happens time again, and it's not new. But what I really like about what you're saying, so I'm going to lead back to your artistry there. So, what was that turning point for you when you thought, right, I have gone to academic group, do say that, we understand how to do that. Mm-hmm. And think, right, this is, I'm a creator, I'm gonna go and create, and boy, you create, work. So what's your take on that step when you let go of that fear and start to do what you want to do?
I think, you know, I think it was after I lost my second child. My first child was a boy, and my second child was going to be a girl, and she didn't make it, unfortunately. You know, I was blessed with two sons afterwards. You know what I mean? Like I said, I do not regret anything. I mean, it was an extremely, extremely traumatizing time for me. But after I lost her, there was so much pain. Like, there was so much pain. Like, I'm an emotional artist. Like, I draw certain time because I can't elaborate on what I'm saying. Like, I will have a feeling inside me and I'll just get the paints out and be... you know what I mean? I just start putting all of these paints and canvas and everything like that. But there was so much pain. And it wasn't even acknowledged. It wasn't acknowledged. And I just thought to myself, I can't talk to anyone. What the hell is going on? And then I just picked up it was just a plain lined piece of paper, and I just started drawing. I started doodling. I started thinking, I remember what this feels like. I felt so happy that I'd actually started to illustrate some certain things. And it was abstract. It wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't complete images or anything like that. There'd be an eye here, there'd be a lip here, there'd be something else here, there'd be a piece of my body here or somebody else's body. There'd be, you know, an image that I come up in my mind, a piece of that, and just colors. And I thought to myself, I remember how happy, you know, I just remembered how, you know, when you do something that you haven't, or heard a piece of music that you haven't heard for in a long time, and you get that nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I remember this. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to the works tomorrow and I'm going to go and get myself some paints. and I just started drawing. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is like, you know, I had to apologize to myself because it's like, I forgot, you know, this is who I am. This is who I am. And I just started doing it bit by bit, bit by bit. Bit by bit. As I said, I've had a life, man, and it was like £5 a month I was saving up so that I could get the equipment to express my emotions, because no one was listening to my emotions. I'd already achieved everything that they, you know, that they wanted me to achieve. So it's now, I'm at a point now where it's like, oh well, she can just get on with it now. She's gone to school, she's got her academics, she's got that job, she's with her man, she's got a child, she can just get on with it, you know? She'll be all right. But I wasn't all right, because I wasn't Melissa, you know? I wasn't Melissa. So when I had that time to sit down and think, and then I picked up that pencil and started drawing on a lined piece of paper, that lined piece of paper turned into a notebook, that notebook turned into a couple of canvases, those canvases turned into paint, those paint turned into greetings cards, those greetings cards turned into jewelry, and it was just from there. Couldn't stop, like Pringles, couldn't stop.
But that's it, once you are something, you stop, the universe is gonna get you.
This is it.
When you're supposed to be something and we run away from it, and you know, you come back to it. I mean, even for me, it's like, I didn't even do an academic career and I started doing this podcast and I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. And
yeah,
you know, because that's my creative street. I was a media kid, you know, and then
natural.
Yeah, academia got the best of me.
Yeah, you're a natural. You can just tell, you're just a natural. Just a natural. And this, you know, I would say to like my younger self or any younger generation, you know, try not to fill your head with what others expect, or you know, what society deems you to have. You got 25 year olds, you know, panicking and they're depressed. I should have my first million by now. What? No.
Yep.
I, you know, I'm a loser. I haven't even got this. I'm not even doing that. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on, like, slow your roll. Slow down. If you keep doing what others expect of you, you're going to lose what you expect of yourself. And you...
Wow, that is powerful. Can you say that again?
If you keep doing what others expect of you, you will lose what you expect of yourself. You don't want
to. That needs to be reading hard. That is deep. That is beautiful.
You don't want to lose what you expect of yourself. And that's just to be yourself and be happy within yourself. Because no one, if you're happy within yourself and you emanate that, the right people are going to gravitate towards you, and you won't even have to worry about certain things like that. But if you keep trying to put on a front and trying to act a certain way, trying to the rat race, trying to get that carrot that's dangling in front of you all of the time and getting depressed because you can't do it, and you're trying to upkeep with everybody else's Instagram page, it really isn't about that. It really is not about that. You need to focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. And your inner growth, man. Because it's like a rose bush, isn't it? You see all the weeds and everything like that. They intertwine with each other. It takes years, or, you know, a good long time for that to happen. You know what I mean? For these weeds to grow and have the strength that they do in the shrubs and everything like that. You know? And then when people look at the finished product, you see something beautiful standing before you. And if anybody tries to mess with that, they get the thorns. That's what you need to be. I know who I am. Don't try and change that, because, you know, it's not that you're going to get hurt, but it's not going to be very pleasant for you if you try and mess me up in a different way. Not going to work. I'm strong within myself. I have resolve. My roots are firm. You know, that's what you need. And you're not going to be able to do that in this fickle type of lifestyle. That would be my advice to anybody younger. No fear. And keep focusing on self. It sounds like very arrogant and narcissistic, but just focus on self. Not in a negative way, but just focus on self. What makes you happy and how you can incorporate that into your life. And that's it.
Wow. I completely agree. And, you know, I like when you're talking about having strong and establishing yourself in those long roots. Because if you're living a superficial life, you never have those roots. And when it's superficial and has no roots, it's easily uprooted.
Right.
And if you have those strong roots and strong foundations, and you've nurtured yourself like a plant grows a tree, it's not going to, you won't be easily uprooted. You won't be easily
uprooted
at that place if you establish yourself. And, you know, what you said is very right and so correct, very meaningful, very powerful. And it's been an honor.
Oh, thank
again,
you, Ed.
Speaking to you.
It's been more than it's been a blessing. It's been an honor. It's just been, it's been nostalgic. It's just been like, yeah. Donna Hall, man. Donna Hall. Serious.
Miss Melissa. Do you know what though? It's just like, we're still very young at heart. We still got so much ahead of ourselves. We've got so much more to give.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to just go over that nostalgia, especially writing letters. The art of writing letters, I really think it stands a chance of being lost right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is, because we have the emojis to compensate for, you know, probably a whole paragraph of what we want to say. You know,
you phone for dictionary and text.
Yes.
And know what you're saying. And one of the things I still do, I think it might have been slightly at age 14, I've kept a handwritten journal. I still have a journal to this day.
Oh wow!
I write things down in, and I think that's probably my little bit of creative streak. And I still write my thoughts about my day, and just kind of literally just diarize and journal things. So yeah, it's been 20 odd years.
Wow.
I don't know what's going to happen if I park it. I think I might have to send them off somewhere so they don't get a hold of it. If something happens to me, if you go into my apartment, go into this place and get all my journals out, mum or something.
Like yeah, we need to talk.
No. Put them in my casket. I don't know. It's a bit dark, but I've got the journal, and I'm glad I did that. That keeps my handwriting. We spend so much time on phones and computers. Most of it we type now, stuff, and you know, my handwriting still looks like absolute doctor's school. But it's a skill.
Yeah. it definitely is a skill. Yeah.
Ooh.
How are you feeling? So just to wrap it up once again, Mel the Artiste. So Harticle Designs.
Yeah.
How do we find you?
You check me out on Instagram at Harticle Designs or at Chirumi Jewelry. You can catch me on Facebook, Harticle Designs, or even Harticle Movements, because that shows all of the development and the stories of how these things have come to their final products. And if you want, you can just inbox me with any concept that you like. You have a look at some of the things that I've done, and you might want to incorporate something to make it more personal, make it more unique for yourself. I can customize the jewelries, and I can customize illustrations as well. So yeah.
Bespoke, customizable, personalized. And guys, honestly, get out there, get on, and just check out some of my girls' prints. They're something. And I read somewhere recently you've been included in an illustrations book. Is that right?
In a
illustrations book.
Illustrations book. Yes. Somebody wanted me to do. Someone wanted me to be in an illustrations book, and also somebody wanted me to be an ambassador for their comic over in America. So yeah, I'm just like a bit haps about that. I have to get in contact with the person to know a bit more about the dynamics of being the ambassador and how I promote it and things like that. So I'm quite excited about yes.
Strength to strength, and I'm so glad to hear that. So Mel, it's been absolutely amazing to be speaking to you.
Thank you
very much for being on and talking with me.
Thank you for having me, man. It's been a it's been an honor. Just to catch up with you and things like that. It's just been wicked. It's been wicked.
Okay. Well, Mel, I'm gonna let you get back to your Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
If you want to send Miss Me some dinner, please do.
I will.
Step it down with that mac and cheese. Anyway, Mel, thank you very much. It's been great speaking to you. Take care.
Lovely. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to episode 10, my interview with Mel. It was absolutely wonderful to catch up with her and just take that trip down memory lane, and I hope you enjoyed it. And once again, I hope you get something from her beautiful, amazing story, and I'm just so privileged that she's been on to share her story with me and you, my listeners. And once again, I can't do this without you guys being out there listening to me, so I want to thank you as always for listening to me. Do not forget to hit me up on Twitter and on Facebook. Everyone loves Facebook, right? It's the oldest one out there. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. And as always, just hit me up, drop me a message, give me a like, give me a follow. And if you do stumble across my YouTube page or YouTube channel, I should say, please hit that like and subscribe button. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and stay safe.